A warning, this episode of Educate contains adult language, so this episode is not intended for children. Parents pushing back in one school district with an organized effort, asking parents three simple words. Did you know? Hi, everyone, and welcome to Educate. I'm Liz Collin. We're talking about that effort in one Minnesota school district to wake more parents up to what's going on in their child's classroom, in their libraries, in their school bathrooms. They are covering it all in this ongoing fight for transparency and for change. You're going to hear from one of the parents leading the way in the Osseo School District, and we're going to take you to a recent school board meeting to hear some of the issues at play. That's coming up. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're going to get to that interview here in just a moment. But first, if you are new to the show, welcome to Educate. I'm Liz Collin, where each and every week we take a deep dive into education. We're also showing you ways to get involved, the conversations to take to your school boards or even to your friends, how best to approach the things that I think far too many of us seem to stay silent on, as our kids pay the ultimate price for that silence. Again, my name is Liz Collin. I'm a Minnesota-based journalist with Alpha News, alphanews.org. A wife, a mom, I am as well, and happy to be with you as we navigate this wild world of education together. We are, though, here to help, offering a wide variety of topics here on Educate. We provide both criticism and positive solutions to problems. We can't all just complain. We need solutions and how to best approach that. With that, we're going to take you to Hennepin County, Minnesota this week. That's the most populated county in Minnesota. And we're landing on the Osseo School District. Again, just want to go back to what I said at the top of the show. This episode is intended for adults only. We want to be clear with that disclaimer, which I also think it's funny that this disclaimer even points to what we're talking about, this whole issue that I have to give a disclaimer for this show. But heck, you can find many of these materials in schools within the Osseo School District. So we'll go ahead and dive into all of that here coming up. Plenty to cover. So this is a story that caught my eye recently, a story that was first published on Alpha News. The headline, Osseo School Board Votes to Leave Sexually Graphic Book in School Library. This is a story by Haley Phelan for Alpha News. The graphic visual depictions of oral sex, masturbation, are not appropriate for the social, emotional, or intellectual developments of students of any age, one board member said. Again, seems to be pointing out the obvious, but let me read this a bit more. The Osseo School Board voted Tuesday, this is a recent meeting, to leave a sexually explicit graphic novel in the Maple Grove High School library. It does have the potential, as a parent mentioned earlier, to help some students. Board member Thomas Brooks said that while explaining why he would be voting to leave the book on the shelves. So the book in question is called Fun Home by Allison Bechdel. So it goes into the main character's father, who comes out as a bisexual a few weeks prior to his death by suicide. Great book, right? Who wouldn't want their kid picking this up? But let's go ahead and listen in here on this recent Osseo School District Board meeting to a parent that went ahead and addressed the school board about this issue. Let's listen.
Good evening. My name is Natalie Sonic, and I'm here tonight to ask that our school board put in place measurable guidelines for what constitutes acceptable reading materials in our school libraries. Let's talk about it as a graphic novel written by Eric Moen and Matthew Nolan. The table of contents includes chapters on masturbation, sexting, along with kinks, fantasies, and porn. Page 5, quote, they're always telling us to just go ahead and avoid sex, but maybe we should be getting help for the sex that we're already having. Page 34 is titled Friends with Benefits, Hookups and Flings. Quote, people in casual relationships have fewer expectations and commitments to one another, often focusing on the more sexual side of things. Page 35 is a picture of a guy eating ice cream cone with a thought bubble saying, quote, honestly, you have me at casual and friends with benefits. That sort of sounds like what I'm ready for. There are structured, measurable guidelines in for everything included the school board meeting. In fact, people have been told they would be removed from this audience if they would choose not to follow these guidelines.
Time.
But yet our school has no measurable guidelines for what constitutes as unacceptable book content. These books have been allowed in our school. Our schools are meant for academic growth, intellectual development, and these schools offer absolutely no, these books offer absolutely no educational value, and they need to be removed. Thank you.
You can go ahead and hear the timer going off in the background as this concerned parent went ahead and stated her case for removing, which I think she did so effectively, removing this book from the library shelves. Ultimately, it was the school board. It was a split decision. We're going to talk why that was coming up with our next guest, a concerned parent who helped to sort of help these people speak out against this, but why the school board went ahead and voted in favor of keeping the book in this high school. But I also wanted to just go ahead and focus on this episode today, where here you have parents from all different backgrounds who really have found this common ground in questioning why it is these, you know, social issues are being forced upon the student population, really what's going on. And I think there's a father here who also addresses the school board at this exact same meeting, and he's questioning the bathroom use policy. Again, with this sort of, did you know, asking parents, did you know this was going on? And then having his parents come forward to go ahead and put these questions to the school board, who ultimately have a lot of power in making some of these decisions. So again, this is a father speaking out on the bathroom use policy at a recent Osseo school board meeting in Hennepin County in Minnesota. Listen.
I want to address the kind of policy in our schools around who can use what bathrooms and under what circumstances. It has come to my attention that there is currently no written policy for the procedure by which a student may access a bathroom that does not align with their biological sex. As it currently stands, a biological male may enter a girl's restroom without repercussions or without getting approval to do so. How is a teacher or a staff member supposed to know if a student is just using a restroom or utilizing it to make trouble? Like smoking, bullying, inappropriate sexual behavior. And sadly, all of these troublesome scenarios happen on our campuses. Without clarifying the bathroom policy, we're opening the gates to more worrisome behavior. As a Muslim, or just a concerned parent even, having biological males and females using the same private space like a bathroom is a non-starter. Are we expecting a 14-year-old female to have a shared space where she gets undressed with an 18-year-old male or a 5-year-old girl in the same closed-off bathroom space with a 10-year-old biological male at the elementary level? Those kids are vastly different from a maturity and stature.
Kind of wild to listen to, isn't it? But he makes a great point that he's just wondering, why is it that boys can go into girls' bathrooms? And can you even believe that these are conversations now happening at school board meetings all across the country? Questions that you actually have to be asking of your school district. I bet even just a few years ago, you wouldn't have seen this coming. But we're going to go ahead and talk to Michelle Strait. She is another parent, a parent from the Osseo School District, asking parents, quite literally, did you know? And what they're doing to kind of fight back in a way and find their voice and speak up. So much more to come on all of this here on Educate. We thank you so much for listening, and we will be right back. Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? Is it even relevant? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, the New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today. A reminder, this show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. We'll be right back.
The The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Go to JBS.org and join us in restoring this great nation.
Welcome back to Educate. I'm Liz Collin. As we have been discussing in our first segment, it seems parents are finally finding their voice at school board meetings all across the country. We've focused on this issue in the past before, but this week we're taking a closer look at what's going on in the Osseo School District. This is a district in Hennepin County in Minnesota. It covers Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, Maple Grove, Osseo, Plymouth, Corcoran, Dayton, and Rogers. I think it's more than 20,000 students that attend District 279. And Michelle Strait is one of those parents, a parent from the Osseo School District, just taking a look around and asking other parents, quite literally, did you know? But I'm thrilled to talk to Michelle today about all of this. Thanks for being here, Michelle.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And I think your story is, one that many can relate to. How did you go ahead and kind of get into all of this? Just give us a bit of your background. You clearly have some skin in the game here.
Yes, I do. So, as you mentioned, so I live in the school district with my husband and two children. I have a child in middle school and a child in high school. And really what happened is that, the fall of 2022, I found out about some pretty major resolutions and policies that had occurred in our school district. And they were mostly focused on LGBT plus issues. And it was really just a surprise to me. And I was just shocked that I didn't know. Some of them had been passed in the summer of 2022, one of them in the summer of 2021. And I think I couldn't believe such important topics and issues weren't being communicated to parents, that very limited involvement of parents, and then no notification afterwards. And so from that really was born out what you had kind of mentioned was creating a did you know kind of information to try to raise awareness with other parents and community members in the district.
Well, and then you see Michelle, again, my guest is Michelle Strait. She is a parent of some students in the Osseo School District, kind of organizing and helping to get some of this messaging out there. But again, talking about some of these issues, and you put together and you sent it over to me, so I had it in preparation for this week's show, this did you know kind of a list. And I would imagine that the answer seemed to be again and again from parents, no, they didn't know a lot of this. And talk about that, just the reaction to sort of stepping out there. I think it takes courage. Nowadays, we see what happens when people speak up sometimes at school board meetings and help to organize parents. But what has the reaction just overall been to this in the last couple years in Osseo?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I have to be honest, it has been scary speaking out, because I think most of us don't want to put ourselves out there and talk about topics that can be polarizing. And so, for myself, though, I just found that these topics were too important. And so as I started conversations, what I found is that conversations were the most important, right? And just the striking up conversations with people, which can be uncomfortable. But I just wanted to get an understanding of, am I an outlier? Or is it common that people are surprised that they don't know and that they also object? And I have to tell you that overwhelmingly, I found that parents do object. And this is regardless as to people's political background and beliefs. The majority of parents do not believe it is the role of schools to be stepping into social topics.
And we mentioned in the first segment of the show, Michelle, just sort of the background about the Osseo, a recent school board meeting, I should say, the Osseo School Board voting to actually leave a sexually explicit novel in the Maple Grove High School library. But I will say it was interesting to, hear at least somebody bring it up, someone to have objections to it, because I think it's another one of those did you know moments that parents didn't even know that this book even existed in the high school.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of those parents that you're speaking of, I had met them last summer and they had started digging into this topic. And I have to say, it once again was very shocking that this was going on in our own school district. And I think that it's funny, people here again, it seems to be turned into this political conversation. But really, if you just bring it down to a very simple place, for me, I have children that are going to the high school, my daughter, 14, that has access to these books. And so here again, when we look at what 14-year-olds have access, we limit their exposure to rated R movies, to all sorts of things. And then here to find out that these things are in our libraries, and that in fact, our library experts say that their qualifications lead them to state that these are acceptable for our 14-year-olds to have access to. So, yeah, it's been a very surprising situation. And then here again, to find out the way, the inner workings of how the district works, right? That parents can bring objections. And then the vote was three parents against it and three district employees were for it. And so any tie, the district wins. And so it just the procedure of how these things occur in the district has been very upsetting, and that here again, parents and what most of us would consider to be acceptable is not taken into consideration.
Yeah, you use that acceptable term. This book specifically, again, is called Fun Home. And it says in the book, the main character's father comes out as bisexual. And then a few weeks later, prior to his death by suicide, this all happens in the book. So there's very graphic images, nudity, oral sex, masturbation is discussed. And I get, you know, at the end, I'm just, it's so obvious to me when you see these three school board, you know, and you're saying district employees essentially sort of side with keeping the book on shelves. But I guess in the end, it's still a matter of fighting this battle and not sitting back. Perhaps this didn't turn out in your favor, but at least it's, you know, part of that process.
Agree. Definitely. Just here again, raising awareness that as parents are learning about this, they object to it also. And, you know, and even that book you touched on, another piece is just that in that book, the father is a teacher and he gets high school boys drunk in order to have sex with them. Wow. I think most parents would find that here again, for a 14-year-old, maybe not the best reading material. Again, for an 18-year-old, maybe. So it really has to do with appropriate age appropriateness, and that here again, opening it up to a wide audience. And, you know, one of the other books that was brought up that I think is under review, but that was spoken about at the school board meeting, involves telling teenagers that casual sex is good and gives them tips on how to find online porn. So, and that again, the school district finds to be appropriate material for 14-year-olds. So parents can choose any material they would like, right, to give to their kids. And in order to educate them appropriately. But really, for us and in my stance is that school should be a place that is neutral, right? And that people from all backgrounds are coming and we share this space that is called our public schools. And so we all need to feel safe there and feel that our kids are safe there. And obviously, I don't feel like these books are appropriate. And these other issues that we're talking about, again, are just not appropriate topics for education schools.
Absolutely. I want to get into a couple more of those issues when we come back. Again, my guest this week, Michelle Strait, one of the parents speaking out at the Osseo School District. A reminder that this show is brought to you by The New American, and we'll be right back with more after this. The New American Magazine powers the Educate Show, featuring in-depth articles and news analysis, culture, and politics. The New American can arrive on your doorstep bi-weekly in a beautifully published physical copy or digitally on their new mobile app. Now, for a limited time, visit thenewamerican.com/educate25 and receive 25% off. Subscribe today at thenewamerican.com/educate25.
Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people. tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, The New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Welcome back to Educate. This is Liz Collin. And again, joining me this week, Michelle Strait, one of the parents speaking up for, I think, a lot of parents in the Osseo School District, and I applaud her for doing so. She was nice enough to agree to an interview this week, kind of a behind the scenes. It's interesting, you know, we talked to a lot of administrators, people who are in charge of different educational nonprofits and whatnot, but it's really nice to hear from the parents. You guys, in my opinion, are really the experts when it comes to what we want for our kids. But again, Michelle, thank you for joining me. And we're talking about, we were kind of talking a bit about this book topic. And I also know, we'll go ahead and discuss this a bit too, but this bathroom usage, again, these are just crazy subjects to me that even 10 years ago, I can't even believe that these are these are things that we're bringing up at school board meetings, which I'm sure you're probably right there along with me. But males can use female bathrooms and locker rooms within the Osseo School District. Just talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, as I was mentioning, I started digging into some of these topics and found out that in 2021, we had the school board had passed a policy giving the right for males that identify as girls to use the girls' locker rooms and restrooms. And I found that shocking, right? And so I asked our school board about it. I went in, met with the middle school principal. I met with the assistant superintendent. I've met with the lawyer and the superintendent. And they've all defended it and said yes. You know, and then what's interesting about this is that here again, when I've spread the word, most people are shocked about it. A few people have accused me of making it up. And that even in of itself is surprising. It's like, no, this is really there. And so that is why even that information I sent you, I'm giving people references and they're right on the school website, right? So right there, it says that that is what our schools allow. And so it's obviously a slippery slope, right? If we say that if you feel something, which you can't identify feelings. And so if a boy feels like a girl, they're allowed to use the opposite sex facilities. And the state of Minnesota has endorsed this. But what we just found out here in February is that now it's gone a step further. So Osseo Senior High basically told its teachers, how can we police feelings? And so they have been told that they are not supposed to interfere with any male using a female restroom. So any male can enter a female restroom now, and we're not supposed to interfere. And I think most parents and people should feel shocked by that and feel that it's on so many levels wrong. I think anybody that's been a teenage girl, has a teenage girl, understands that girls out of all people need privacy and restrooms. And so I find this shocking and obviously violates so many safeguarding issues, right? When we're talking about having males in restrooms with females.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm kind of curious, you know, since you guys have been a bit organized now for a couple of years, have you made, you know, what I guess I would call measurable differences at this point? Has it gone, you know, even beyond beyond just, you know, educating parents that these things are happening or perhaps are coming to the Osseo School District soon?
Yeah, you know, I do feel like we did. So we started organizing last spring, and it's funny because I feel like I'm a little late to the game. So when I got involved and started expressing my shock, I found other parents that told me, you know, we've been shocked for a couple years and have been trying to get attention. And I couldn't believe that. But as I got involved and as we kind of raised awareness and we got a petition going, we started speaking at school board meetings. You know, so that was all happening last spring into the summer. And then luckily enough, we got a new superintendent who believes that the school should keep secrets from families and from parents. And so based upon our interactions with her and kind of raising this, to be honest, she really did push back a lot of things that the district had planned to implement. You know, last spring, they had started doing teacher training that was to teach children from pre-K on up that they may be transgender, right? So teaching the transgender snowman, right? That we are all different parts and that your sex may be different than your body, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was all happening last spring. And the superintendent came in and we were able to meet with her and she really took parents serious. And so she really did kind of roll back the implementation plan for some of these items. So I do feel like we've made a lot of headway, but we're really at this point where we're at an impasse because, you know, when those policies and resolutions were passed, the board was 4-2 and it was four that believed in these social agendas. And so they were passing all of these items. Well, the fall of 2022, the election resulted in one of those school board members not being reelected. So now the school board has been basically tied. So no agendas have been forwarded, but we haven't been able to pull anything back. So really we're at the point now where we're organizing and trying to support school board member elections this coming fall, because that's really the only way that we can make permanent change. You know, so that's really what our efforts are right now.
And I can see that you have here that the school district is introducing this LGBTQIA plus. I always have so many questions every time. That's coming in April of 2024. And then this one, I think, really got my attention too. Books placed in kindergarten and other elementary classrooms that teach transgenderism. That's coming also. But
that's already happened.
Oh, this is 2021. I see. Yes. Okay. So, yeah. I remember Alpha News reported a bit on these pride flags that are hung permanently now in district buildings. Does it seem, though, that do you receive a lot of opposition, you know, beyond these board members and such? Because I was just watching your school board meeting. Seems like everybody's kind of on the same page going like, you guys are, you know, why are you allowing this? You're kind of crazy. But, you know, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, isn't that very interesting that the support seems to be very one-sided and yet the other agenda is what had won over in those past years? And also something of note is like when that resolution was passed, it was brought by people outside of our district in conjunction with one of our school board members or a few of them. So there again, it was not with groundswell support here in the district. There are outside agendas at play here, right, that would that are trying to forward these ways of thinking. And so they came in. It is not, I believe, what the majority of community members here in the district would support. And as you said, is backed up by what you see at the actual school board meetings.
Yeah. And, you know, just talk about the kind of the overall mission, because I think you make this very, very clear and it's well stated here that, you know, what basically should the mission of this school district be at the end of the day?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we have really focused on uniting people. We have people from all backgrounds. We have people that are agnostic, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, everybody that together believes that our schools should be neutral and that our schools really should be focused on surprise academics. Right. And so that is really what this is about, is school neutrality, parents' rights, and that social agendas, it is not the place, school is not the place for those things to be forwarded. So we're really trying to advocate for academic excellence, for classroom safety, behavioral conduct, and just creating that environment that here again, you know, through this whole LGBT plus situation, it's very easy for people to call names and say, oh, you're not caring. You support bullying and exclusion. And that's the exact opposite. I think everybody that we're involved with all agree that students should be treated with respect. We want every child to be included. I would not want any child to be harmed. And so we agree that that is the basics and the foundation of what our school district is. And that even while we believe that, that doesn't mean that we should be affirming or endorsing any specific belief system, right? I've told people that if you're vegan, it's not up to the school to say whether being vegan is right or wrong. Your family may endorse that. They may have a lot of reasons for it. They may feel very strongly about it, but the school shouldn't be involved in that, right? So I think that...
Right, the entire school doesn't have to be vegan as a result of all of that.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, so that's really what we're about.
Yeah, that which is a great point. I do have to take a quick commercial break, but I'll come back and we'll wrap up this conversation. Michelle Strait, a great parent fighting the good fight for, I think, a lot of us in the Osseo School District. Again, you're listening to Educate. This is Liz Collin, and the show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com.
Have you ever heard someone say, the system's broken? Sure you have. Well, it's not true. America's founders created a brilliant governing system that prevents us from having kings, queens, dictators, and even czars. We the people can replace every elected official in a span of 6 years if we so choose. Here at the John Birch Society, we believe the only way to liberty, prosperity, and national sovereignty is not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adheres to them. The reason we have a ballooning, reckless, and corrupt government is because elected officials aren't following the Constitution. The John Birch Society is principled, coordinated, effective activism. We believe the Constitution is the solution. Join JBS and change America. Visit JBS.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1 to get involved. That's JBS.org.
Welcome back to Educate. This is Liz Collin. Again, we're talking to Michelle Strait, who is, I think, is just a straight shooter overall, speaking up for a lot of us in the Osseo School District. Again, the focus is on this district in Hennepin County in Minnesota, where I seem to focus a lot. It seems like there's so much material in Minnesota, to be quite honest, that's not making the news. And I think this is definitely one of those issues. This is a school district. It's large. More than 20,000 students are going there, and kind of been a bit, I think, you know, kind of a test case of what we've seen all across the country. A lot of these, you know, I would say kind of crazy policies getting passed, despite the fact that many parents don't agree with them at all. I wanted to point out, Michelle, just, you know, you're having this conversation about what the goals are here and what the focus should be at schools. You can't ignore how test results are and how so many students aren't even making the grade. And this should be the focus, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've seen that as these things and these social agendas are being forwarded more and more, it's in opposite of our test scores. So, you know, we have very limited funds. We have very limited time to teach our children. I'm on some different district committees, and this is something we talk about all the time. And so then you have to ask the question, with such limited time and money, why is so much of it being spent on these topics? And so there again, I think that's what we can agree on, many of us parents, is that let's take our precious time and money and put it where it should be. And that is in educating our children, raising test scores. You know, I think we can all agree that education, reading, math, basics, is really what is going to give children their best opportunity in life. And so if we fail them in that, in the basics, then we are not doing our job.
Well, and speaking of the basics, only 43%, it says here, of elementary students are reading. Reading and math scores are at grade level. So only 43% are meeting grade level in the Osseo School District, and only 30% of middle school student math scores are at grade level. 44% reading for middle school students in Osseo. I mean, those numbers, they don't lie.
No. And there again, I think, you know, I was telling somebody about these the other day, and again, they were shocked because most people think that we are living in a good school district. But the numbers have been slipping, right, over time. And so I think it's important that parents are informed. You know, again, I often say I was one of them. I've been in this district for 15 years. And I was unaware of any of this information. You know, I think that a lot of parents are like myself in that we have really trusted our school district. And we just thought things were going along. It's kind of like autopilot, right? Oh, it's all good. We're all busy. We're working. We're managing our children's lives. And we think school's just good. And then you stop and you get some of this information and you think, what's going on here? seems like we should take a look. It seems like maybe we're veering off course because this isn't where we should be.
Yeah, well said. And if people want to contact you guys or, you know, perhaps emulate, because I think there are so many good tips here, you know, something like this in their own school district, that this, and you know, sort of where to look for the did you know part of things. What's the best way to go about reaching out and contacting you?
Right now, we have an email address, transparencyforosseo@gmail.com. And that would be the best way to reach us. We are just working on kind of some new materials, new names, all of that type of thing. But for now, this is where you could reach out and then, you know, we can kind of help people make the transition to our new Parents United group that we're forming.
So again, it's Transparency for Osseo. So that's OSSEO. I know people can get tripped up on that, but Transparency for Osseo at gmail.com. Can't thank you enough, Michelle Strait, again, for being my guest, a parent fighting back, I guess, if you will, this battle. It seems so many of us are in, but really appreciate all the time and all the work you're doing in the Osseo School District.
Yes, thank you.
Isn't that great to go ahead and hear from a parent? Can't thank Michelle Strait enough for joining us today. A parent that I think a lot of people can go ahead and model their plans after. I was going to give just a brief overview again of everything we've talked about. It was a lot to cover in the last couple of segments, but again, the Osseo School District putting together this Did You Know, basically just kind of a one-page email sending out to parents. Did you know males can use female bathrooms and locker rooms? Did you know the school district is introducing LGBTQIA+ curriculum? Did you know school staff will affirm your child having a new name and pronoun without informing you based on gender identity ideology? Did you know books were placed in kindergarten and other elementary classrooms that teach transgenderism in 2021? Did you know the LGBTQIA+ progress flag, pride flag, I should say, was permanently hung June 1st in all district buildings? Did you know graphic novels that portray sexual explicit acts are available for all students in our high school libraries? Did you know our state athletic association, the Minnesota State High School League, determined that males can play in girls' sports based upon their gender identity? So again, just some did you know things that I think can go out to many parents if they just go ahead and check out what these policies are at schools and perhaps get parents to rally around pushing back and changing things. And I think, as Michelle made the point, that the schools should be neutral and leave teaching of cultural, social, political, and religious values to families. They go on to have this mission statement that the focus of the Osseo School District schools should be shared humanity, which creates respect and equity for all people and reinforces that no student should be harassed, discriminated against, bullied, or excluded based upon their race, culture, sexual orientation, gender, or other differences. All students should feel safe and be treated with kindness and inclusion. In closing, they say, we support all students in their goal of educational excellence, improving academic opportunity and performance should be the focus of our schools. Not sure why there would be any kind of drama when it comes to lines like that. I also think that I wanted to go back before we close Educate this week to listen again to one of these concerned fathers addressing the school board in Osseo. Again, a recent school board meeting that took place in the Osseo School District in Minnesota. This concerned father talking more about this bathroom policy and some other things that he brought up as well. And he's a Muslim father coming out and talking about how this goes against what they are teaching at home. And I think you can kind of hear in his voice just the frustration and also the compassion he has to go ahead and get this changed for students that he is bringing up in this school district. So let's go ahead and listen in.
What is the educational value this book and its likes, such as Funhouse? Why are the district administrators approving Funhouse to meet academic standard? Why was it passed 7-1 vote district level? What's the educational value that students, union representatives, and teachers that approve this book? As a Muslim parent, this shows that we can no longer trust the district with our children. it shows us the aim of the district is not to prepare our children to become educated, productive members of the society, but it's to alienate our children whose faith and moral values do not align with this hedonistic ideology. The schools should strive to create inclusive and respectful environment that considers the diverse background and values of students and families. Introducing sexually graphic materials without considering cultural sensitivities or religious beliefs can alienate certain groups within the school community. And this is exactly how the Muslim families of this district feel.
Again, a concerned father who is Muslim talking about asking, basically pleading with the school board recently at an Osseo school district board meeting to adopt some standards. Simply saying, stop tearing our families apart. I think some powerful words for sure, and I applaud him for coming forward. So again, if you're listening and if this is something you would want to emulate in your own school district, the email is transparencyforosseo@gmail.com, transparencyforosseo@gmail.com. I think we covered a lot of ground here on Educate this week. Again, this has been Liz Collin. Appreciate you joining me very much as we took kind of a closer look at what's going on in the Osseo School District, something I think many districts can relate to. Get exclusive digital access to the most informative, nonpartisan, truthful news source for patriotic Americans. Discover a refreshing blend of time-honored values, principles, and insightful perspectives within the pages of the New American Magazine. Don't you kind of miss those days, getting a magazine in the mail? Well, do it again. Sign up. Delve into a world where tradition is the foundation and exploration knows no bounds. From politics and finance to foreign affairs, environment, culture, and technology, we bring you an unparalleled array of topics that matter most. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. The New American, no more, do more. Again, that's thenewamerican.com.